Challenge Podcast, your source for the best, most inspiring, and up-to-date information concerning all things related to MS, fitness, and health. This is Stephen Gloss, your host, an MS warrior trainer and fitness advocate. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people with MS and fitness professionals worldwide in an effort to educate and train them in the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. Together, we can win the battle against multiple sclerosis. This is episode number 8. Today's special guest is the founder of MS Hope, a nonprofit organization focused on providing people with MS the strategies that have enabled him to live a drug-free, healthy life for more than 20 years since his diagnosis. His incredible documentary film, Living Proof, shed light on the undeniable benefits of alternative treatment for MS. As a firm believer in the benefits of fitness, nutrition, and mindset can have for people with MS, he is a champion for the MS Fitness Challenge mission. The MS Fitness Challenge podcast would like to introduce Matthew Embry to the show. It's an honor to speak with you today.
It's an honor to speak with you and to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to roll this back a little bit, Matthew. Before you were diagnosed, going a little bit back now, but can you recall, did you have any knowledge of or experience with MS? Did you ever envision yourself having to battle with a chronic lifelong illness?
No, I mean, I was only 19 when I was diagnosed. Wow. So I knew very little of the disease outside of, you know, people like Richard Pryor or Annette Funicello. So, and I didn't have really any experience in my personal life with it either.
So nobody in your family then either?
No, it was not. Nobody in my family had the disease. None of my friends or my friends' parents had it. So again, it was a mystery to me and something I knew that was bad.
Yeah.
That's about all I knew.
Yeah, I was actually in the exact same boat when I got a phone call from actually who was an ear, nose, and throat doctor who had looked at my MRI. He told me, I think you have multiple sclerosis. And outside of maybe hearing the acronym MS a few times in my life, I was clueless. So let's get into your diagnosis then. What was that experience with MS like when you first started going through all those symptoms? What was going through your mind at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, my story is not dissimilar to a lot of people's where, you know, one symptom suddenly presented. And, you know, I think like most people, I thought it was a pinched nerve or right. I had done something mountain biking. Again, I was in my basement, my parents' house. I was kicking a basketball and suddenly the ball didn't feel normal. Something felt very wrong. It was a combination of numbness and hypersensitivity. At the same time, very hard to explain unless you've experienced it. And then that feeling just went right up into my chest and I within about 20 minutes. And again, at that time, I still thought it was a pinched nerve.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what, you know, I brushed it off. And right. I think that, you know, as days passed, it didn't go away and other symptoms started to present. And then as they presented and persisted, that's when I knew I had to get to the doctor.
Yeah. So it sounds like with many people who go through the battle of the initial struggle of the diagnosis, especially at a young age. I was 27 when I was diagnosed, but you were only 19. What sort of was going through your mind at the realization that you had, you know, you were being diagnosed with a lifelong illness?
Yeah. I mean, it was certainly an eye opener, right? I mean, I think at first I was numb, I think like most people, then the outcomes, you know, I think I was given, you know, 30% chance of this, 30% chance of that. And it was fairly overwhelming because and at that time you just don't know which way it's going to go.
Yeah.
But again, I've, you know, even prior to my diagnosis, I've always been the kind of person just kind of to dig in and get going. So we did that pretty quick.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I did. Google became... Me and Google were basically joined at the hip, and I was trying to research every possible avenue to find some way to fix what was wrong, you know?
Right. And that, and back then, there wasn't Google, right? So, I mean, it was, you know, there was a few weird kind of, you know, message groups or whatever at the time. And then there was the library, but really, you're alone. I mean, man. You know, I look back, I mean, and that's, you know, In a way, it's why it's so important to do the things that you're doing and the things, you know, that we're trying to do on the internet where there's young men, young women who get diagnosed and suddenly they got you know, all this information at their fingertips. And it's so important to get that hope out there.
Definitely. And I do look at it in retrospect that, you know, it's a huge blessing that I even though there's so much information, can be overwhelming, you know, as opposed to you, at least I had that.
Yeah.
So what motivated you to want to then go on and produce the Living Proof documentary film? When did you start to realize the power of alternative treatments for MS?
Well, I mean, I was really lucky in my journey in that my dad is a researcher, a geologist. So he was able to, you know, really dig into the medical literature. And I was on a very strict diet and exercise within about 6 weeks of my diagnosis. So I really attacked it head on. And then I was on high dose vitamin D also at a very young age. And that was, you know, we're going back almost 25 years now.
Yeah.
And I'm also a very disciplined person. So I also read and attended lectures, and it just, the science sunk into me that how important it was to be so strict in my regime. And I knew the alternatives. I knew how bad the disease could be. There was a certain level of fear that I had about getting worse, and I stuck to it and I saw the results, you know, and as year after year passed, you know, the time just kept ticking, and then I went on with my life, right? Yeah. I mean, I wasn't that involved in the community. I didn't like being involved in the community, to be honest. As a young man in my 20s, I didn't want to be labeled as someone with a very severe degenerative disease. You know, I was like anybody else. I was dating, you know, I experienced the same kind of things anyone else does. And that's tough to be out there in the world. And you've got this label over your head that's, you know, largely misunderstood by most people. So, you know, I really, to be in all honesty, I kind of hid from it for quite some time.
Interesting.
And then, you know, my wife, you know, it's in the movie. You know, she's, you know, she even says, she's, you know, this all of a sudden, it wasn't part of our life. And all of a sudden he starts doing this. And I think maybe we had two conversations about it prior to getting married. Maybe.
Wow.
All she knew is that I had a, you know, a very strict diet, more or less. And I'd had these issues in my early 20s. So I went on into my 30s, and then I ended up having children. And then I, you know, as I approached 40, I started getting very frustrated with the information that we were trying to get to people, not reaching people. Yeah. And it was really frustrating. And so I got quite upset at one night at some event we put on. I got very, very frustrated. And then I, you know, I'm blessed that I'm a filmmaker and that I've got these types of skills. And then I said, look, I mean, I know the power of media, and I'm going to get to work, and I'm going to start getting this information to people.
That's awesome. I remember there's a scene in, it's early on in your documentary, we actually encounter, she's a younger lady, and she's almost, I guess she's living by herself in an apartment, and she recounts a story of how she fell down and wasn't able to get back up, and there was nobody to help her. Was that one of your first encounters of like the gruesome ugliness of what MS could be?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, there's also some pretty challenging scenes off the top, right? So with other patients who've really suffered, and I've been exposed to that quite a bit in my past, and I didn't, that's something I really hid from and didn't enjoy that. I think in that scene in particular, that was really hard for me. I mean, that was, and I think we have these visions when we're diagnosed and we're struggling with the fear, and that was like what was happening in that woman's life. For me, that was so scary. And that was that, you know, that apartment, the way she was, you know, struggling, the lack of support she had sometimes. We were the same age, you know, roughly the same age. You know, that was really looking into the darkness of my fears right there. And that was, you know, probably the, maybe one of the most challenging days of my life to walk out of there and not to be able to, you know, help instantly touch her and make her well. Right. Like I know that's, but that's so bad what your heart wants to be able to do. Right. And it's tough.
Absolutely. There's also a scene in the documentary where you actually go to David Lyon's house, the founder of the MS Fitness Challenge charity, and you go there to interview him and assess his daily health habits. How did you hear about David and the MS Fitness Challenge, and what compelled you to reach out to him and get him involved with your documentary?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, you know, I was late to Facebook. I was early to Facebook at first, but then I left it and then I came back to it.
Yeah.
And then once I got on Facebook, I think that's where the connection got made. And then, you know, just even checking him out, I'm like, you know, who is this guy?
Yeah.
He's, you know, clearly like the imagery he has. I mean, he's a disciplined, you know, motivated and direct human being and, you know, and doing great stuff. Right. And it was, you know, and I would check him out and look at all the followers that he was having, the impact that he was making. And, you know, he's inspiring me. And so I thought, you know, this is the kind of person that A, I want to meet, and B, that I think, you know, I want to bring to the world in a bigger way if I can possibly help that. And so, you know, by the grace of God, we reached out to him and he agreed to be in the movie.
That's awesome. So we sort of touched on this a little bit, the dilemma between like the battle with MS and how there's been a lot of there's been a lack of information, but now there's also a lot of misinformation out there about how to approach it with a strategic plan to you know, to increase your health and wellness. When did you start your nonprofit organization, MS Hope, and what was your primary goal starting out?
Yeah, I mean, I want to be really clear. Like, MS Hope is not a charity.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get that quite a bit. How the charity works is that there's a charity called Direct MS, and that's at direct-ms.org. And that's my parents' charity.
Awesome.
So they run that, and they started that, I believe, in the 90s. And that charity, over 95% of the money donated goes to research. And they've done a number of projects over the years, which I'm sure you can find on their website.
Yeah.
MS Hope is a site that I created with them. And MS Hope is totally free, doesn't accept donations. It's just all free information we try to get to people. And that was created because I felt that most people aren't going to sit down and go through all the hard science and the literature. They just don't have the time or the capacity to do that.
Right.
So we created MS Hope to be a really user-friendly bullet point. Here's the distillation of the research. Here's 4 or 5 videos. Here's 3 easy PDFs. Here's what I've been doing for almost 20, it'll be 25 years this year. And here's the result of that.
Right. And like your documentary is called, it's living proof, right?
So it's like, here I am. Here's me. If you want this result for you, you know, that this is what I did. So I'm not going, and I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to give medical advice, but this is the concept, right?
Yeah. I'm curious, what is your response to people that maybe say to you, well, MS is different in everyone. There's no guarantee that what you're doing will work for everyone.
Yeah. Well, I say, okay, look, that's up to you. I mean, here are the strategies that I put into place. Here is the science. Here's a link to where the scientific thinking is behind this. If you don't want to try that, that's okay. Like, it's totally up to you.
Right.
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical healthcare professional, but I look the way I look. I am the way I am, I believe, because of the strategies that I've implemented. So you can take this information and try to implement it into your life, or you don't have to. And then I also tell people, okay, look, if you can't do it, you know, we're trying our absolute best to get information out there to find other alternatives to that may help you.
Right. And I know you've expressed yourself as being extremely disciplined, and I doubt you've probably ever even strayed one bit from your diet, but what would you say to the person who maybe lacks that discipline from the get-go, but they're still making a concerted effort? Is it still worth to at least get as close as possible?
I mean, that's really hard for me to answer. I mean, I'm pretty, you know, I'm a believer, either you're all in or you're not.
Right.
I mean, I have a slogan that I use called no cheat days. And that's what I believe. Like, there are no cheat days.
Right.
So it's like, well, if you're going to cheat, like, you will experience the outcomes of that. So it's a philosophy. It's a way of life. It's a discipline, you know, and that's kind of, you know, and I'm not, again, on my website, I don't have like a guarantee or anything like that. I'm just trying to get strategies out there and hope that, you know, people take the time to read the science behind it. And if they decide to implement it, they can.
Yeah. And it's an awesome resource for those listening that haven't checked it out. I'll make sure I have a link to it. But part of the information that's on that website, a lot of it has to do with fitness. And we're going to kind of transition to fitness role with MS and how that plays into your life. How has fitness empowered your MS life? And what does your typical fitness routine look like throughout the week?
Yeah, I mean, fitness has been huge for me. It's something I do pretty much every single day. And I wake up in the morning. I wake up when I wake up. So, and then I do my meditation practice, which is about half an hour. And then I get to the gym, I have a smoothie, and then I get to the gym or I go running outside or something like that. So I'll do at least half hour of cardio in the morning with, 15 to 20 minutes of weights, almost every day, like every single day.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, I will do it. I will push myself. I mean, I've been at the gym, probably like David Lyons, like 2 a.m. sometimes. If I can't get in, I get it in. And today's a good example. I did a great workout this morning and I'm going to do it again this afternoon if I've got time. Yeah. And I'll head back at it and get my body moving.
That's great. What is MS Hope's messaging when it comes to fitness? And why do you think fitness is such a critical factor for those seeking a healthy and functional life with MS?
Yeah, I mean, I think fitness is important for everybody. I mean, that's, I think our bodies were made to move and to be taken advantage of that way. I think that one part of MS or most part of a healthy life is blood flow. And we're really focusing on things, food, fitness that help your cardiovascular system, which help your entire body. So the message is try to do something every day. Right. And that what I really notice with people is sometimes they go, I got to work out half an hour. No, just start with 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes. And then tomorrow do 6 minutes. And the day after that, do 7 minutes. And then do 7.5. And every single day, try to get just a little bit better.
Right.
And then before you know it, you're 2 years in and all of a sudden you're, running around, you're doing whatever you can. And then I think that's where, resources like the MS Fitness Challenge are so important because people have disability and they can't do what I do. And that shouldn't stop them, right? We need resources and what the work David does with other people to make sure if you have disabilities that you're able to use your body and able to figure out ways to get moving and get that blood flowing, right? I mean, those are crucial resources that he's providing.
Yeah, I think it's really critical, like you said, to focus on what you can do as opposed to what you can't. Because especially with MS, if you live with that perspective of just all the negativity that surrounds the disease, it's really hard to climb out of that and to motivate yourself to do the exercise.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I can't remember some great podcast I was listening to. It said, look, if you can move one finger, start moving that finger.
Yeah.
And just start there and just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it and day by day. Try to add on. And I do, even at the level I'm at, and I'm sure the level David's at, that mentality just, it doesn't end. And you grow on that.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of similarities and parallels between what we at the MS Fitness Challenge believe in trying to accomplish as well as what you're trying to do with MS Hope and everything that you're involved with. So have you at all been directly involved with what the MS Fitness Challenge is doing in any way following the Living Proof documentary?
No, I mean, not yet. I mean, David and I go back and forth on a personal level.
Right.
But right now we haven't really teamed up, but I'm sure something in the future will likely occur. I'm just kind of trying to figure out what the next step is, right? I mean, the documentary was a big push for us and now that's gone all over the world. Thanks to Amazon Prime. To be honest, I can't keep up on the number of people who contact me.
It's amazing.
So now it's about, okay, what? It's been learning, right? Like now we know what people need. So we just, we just released a free cookbook on our websites. I think it's on MS Hope, but it's for sure on direct-ms.org.
Okay.
So now there's a free cookbook. So you can download that. So if if you're struggling with that, there's a cookbook and now it's the next piece. But I send a lot of people to David. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, David, what he's accomplished through the MS Fitness Challenges, I would say, I mean, maybe I'm biased being a part of it, but it is one of the, if not the best resource when it comes to MS and fitness linked together.
Yeah. And I just, the second someone writes me, the moment someone writes me about it, I'm like, check this guy out, David Lyons, get in touch with him, go on his Facebook. And then also too, what I really appreciated about it, it's David has extended it to so many other people, right? You get to watch their stories. I mean, I think I've reshared things I've seen on there for other people who are part of it. And that becomes inspiring to all of us, and me, I mean, for sure, to me.
Right. Yeah. And I think the key essential ingredient to finding success with MS is collaboration and community. It's about getting together and showing the world that we can tackle this disease, that we can beat it, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the key messages in Living Proof is that this disease is not all downhill. I mean, I just posted a story recently yesterday on my Facebook about a guy who's 50 who's now reversing his symptoms. People need to stop that concept in their minds that this is all downhill. Like, it's just right. Not. And I think that's one of our key messages too.
What about the MS Fitness Challenge would you say resonates with you the most or impresses you the most?
Inclusivity. That is what I really, really admire about it. It's a very niche community, and I think that it's trying its best to service it all, and to be open to it all, right? And and I think that's so wonderful because people, you know, sometimes gyms are, you know, you go to your average gym or you sign up online or something, they're not really catering to just the huge spectrum of disabilities, right?
Yeah, that's a great point.
And I think that disability is not just in Canada or the US, like all over the world. So, I mean, it's an important organization.
Yeah. I think we got to break through that stigma or that stereotype where disabled people can only go to like hospitals to get physical therapy. Like that's not the case.
That's a great point. Right. And that's, you know, and when you go to your average gym, you don't necessarily, you know, get to interact with a lot of people who are struggling with disability. Right. And I think that that's got to shift as well.
Yeah, and I know when I've gone to one of my local gyms, and typically when I exert a lot of energy, I get extremely symptomatic, and it's hard to isolate my mind and thoughts away from all the stares and the glares that I get, and it's that battle with inside of me is if whether or not I'm making people feel uncomfortable or if I'm being an inspiration to people, and that's hard to struggle with.
Right, yeah, I bet you're inspiring them.
That's what I'm hoping.
It's my guess.
So you've been diagnosed with MS since 1995. Like we said, that's pretty much 25 years now. Have you officially come to terms with the unpredictable nature of the disease? And do you feel like you've officially beaten this disease? Can you say that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question. I mean, I think that every human being is in a state of potential disease state at all times. Does that make sense?
Yeah, expand on that. What do you mean by that?
I mean, at all times you could get cancer, you could get MS, you could get something else. Like we're all in a potential disease state. So the question becomes, okay, what am I doing every single day to not be in a disease state? And that's really how I live my life. Like I wake up and I think, okay, how am I going to be better today than I was yesterday? You know, and I know that I've got, you know, lots of things going on. I've got, you know, my own mental battles like anyone else. I've got my own physical battles. I've been told I've had MS for more than half my life now. And then I just get to work.
Right.
And so I try not to even really think about it. I just kind of get to the end of the day and think, hey, what did I do today? Did I execute in all the categories of my life? And if I didn't, what am I going to do tomorrow to pick up the pace?
Yeah, I think one of the key principles you're really honing in on here through this conversation is the importance of today, about making the most of today, about seizing the day. I sign every one of my emails with the quick tagline, embrace the day. And right. I think it's really important to realize that today is like a precious gift and you can do a lot with it if you are really intentional and really just stick to a game plan that you can follow day in and day out.
Amen. I mean, I really believe that thinking. Well, one of the philosophy I try to get across to people, I say, look, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. Okay? That's it. So you decide with every single decision you make, are you getting better?
Right. There is rarely a time where you can be stagnant in this life.
Yeah. So you have a choice. It's at 7 o'clock at night. It's like, okay, well, I can sit down and watch Netflix. That's one decision. Or I can go snowshoeing. Or I can go read a book, right? You have three options or whatever the case. You get to decide which one you think is going to elevate your life the most.
Right.
So, and I think the more people do that type of discipline in their minds, to what you're saying in the now, suddenly things start to take off.
Yeah. And it's, I think, like you said, living in the now is so critical, because when you try and take that step back and look at just the gauntlet that lies ahead sometimes, that can be really discouraging. But if you can just look at those little daily battles, the little tiny small victories that you can achieve, those start to bundle together. And before you know it, you've climbed that mountain.
I completely agree with you. I completely agree. And especially when you're working out, like sometimes, and I think why that's why working out is, and I'm sure David must talk about this at the level he's at. Sometimes you're just thinking about that next step forward, right?
Right.
It's like, can I get up this hill literally? Or can I pick up this weight one more time?
Yes.
You know, and that's like a really important way to look at your life.
Absolutely. Well, as we start to close this out, I got two questions for you.
Sure.
What has motivated you to stand against the naysayers and opposition? Because when you watch your documentary, you faced a lot of it. And what has motivated you to conquer that, to continue being a beacon of hope for people struggling with this disease?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a soldier of truth. I hope that doesn't sound cliche, but the truth is what I live for in so many categories and ways in my life. And I think that the truth comes in many forms, obviously. And I think that each and every single human being should be given the opportunity to pursue the best life possible for them. And I think that for a human being on this planet to be able to pursue the best life possible, you need lots of information.
Right.
And so there will be people, there will be organizations who are going to hold information back from you for their own financial interests. And that bothers me greatly. And I think that if you know something, if you have truth inside you, you got to stand up and speak it, not only for yourself, but for the others around you. And you can raise them up as well. And I think that that's when these challenges come to me. I'm like, well, okay, ultimately the truth's going to win. So as long as I'm telling the truth, I'm going to be okay in this.
Yeah.
Right. And then also too, I mean, it's also people like David, right? It's people like you. It's the people who reach out to me and sometimes I don't hear from these people for years, and all of a sudden they write me back or something. It's like, you know, 5 years ago I started this and I'm doing fantastic. I'm like, wow, you know, thanks for writing me. Like, that's amazing. And that's, you know, power. I mean, glory to God. I mean, I'm just a messenger, right?
Yeah,
I am just a messenger of hope and truth. That's it. A conduit to something much, much bigger beyond myself. I believe that.
And I just want to take a moment to pause here and just say thank you for your resilience and for your dedication and passion for doing what you're doing, because you've inspired me. I know you've inspired thousands around the world, and it's making a big difference.
You know, again, I praise God. I mean, I just give you the information that comes to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I can't take too much of the credit.
So what is your message then to those who maybe are newly diagnosed, and even to those who might have been battling this disease for several years or even decades now, but they don't feel like they have a key word, and that is hope? What do you say to people who don't have hope?
Yeah, number one, like, there is hope, okay? And number two, you know, an illness, a diagnosis is a wake-up call. It's telling you that you tried your absolute best how you were living, but it didn't work. So it's not that you're bad, it's just whatever you were doing didn't work, and here you are, and now you got to change. And if you want radical outcomes in the future that are positive, you've got to make radical change in the now. And it's up to you. So you get to be the one to decide how you eat. You get to be the one to decide how you exercise. You get to be the one to decide if you engage in prayer and meditation and mindfulness and being kind to others around you. And when you start taking control of that, you start taking control of your health. And that's where you're going to find the hope. It's on those moments. So it's on those day by day, moment to moment choices.
That's such a powerful and inspirational challenge, or a call to fight, because MS oftentimes is looked at as a disease that takes control, over which we have no control. But what you just said right there, it's proof. And you yourself and many people who are living with MS are proof that we can do those small little things day by day that can help us take control.
You got it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on today's show, Matthew. I was truly inspired and motivated to make improvements to my diet and lifestyle after watching your documentary, and I'm thankful for people like you. I mean, you're changing the dialogue surrounding MS. You're showing you're showing people that this disease doesn't have to mean your life is over, or that you're doomed to be disabled beyond reach. You've given people with MS hope. So whatever you're doing, I encourage you, just keep doing it and don't stop. Our MS community needs warriors like you in the fight.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for saying that. And thank you for also taking this message of hope and lifting it up with David. I really appreciate that. You guys are doing the work.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Be sure to tune into next week's episode, where I will get the honor and privilege of interviewing Tracy Davenport. She has a PhD in human growth and development and is an expert on sleep science and is an active ambassador raising awareness of the important role sleep plays in overall wellness. She's recently teamed up with David Lyons in the MS Fitness Challenge and will be the go-to source for all things related to MS and sleep. If you're wanting to know how you can get a better night's rest, you're not going to want to miss this. Remember, episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast are available for download every Saturday on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Simplecast. A great way you can help and support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people we reach, the greater the impact we can have. As we close out, remember to check out msfitnesschallenge.com and dig into all the great resources we have for you. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and get plugged into our awesome MS Fitness Challenge Gym Facebook group. To all those listening, to all our MS warriors, thank you. Don't give up the fight. Keep pressing, keep striving, and conquer MS.